bread of heaven sent down from glory. Many things do on earth, a holy king, a carpenter. You are the living Savior, sent down from glory. Many things do I wonder, all the things I got to find. Bread of heaven sent down from glory.
You are the living word. Amen. Bread of heaven, sent down from glory. Many things you were on earth, a holy king, a carpenter, but you are the living word. Amen. Amen. And that's the real bread. Amen. We just got done saying it. That's the bread that we need. Amen. We're going to talk about that bread today just for a little bit. But those of you that have your Bibles, if you could turn your attention to the book of John chapter 15. Thank God for our theme for today. Talking about a radical love. Amen. That's going to be a point, but it's not the title today. But John chapter 15, beginning at first verse, says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. You can't do anything. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather him and cast him into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. And as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you could keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept the Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. And that word full also means complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. Greater love than this, that no man had than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Amen. And then the only other verse that I have with this is 1 John 4:10. And it says, and this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. And our focal verse would be this verse 11, back in John 15. These things have I spoken. This is why I've spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be complete. Amen. Your joy might be complete. Amen. And just, we, you know what? We're going to talk about, we are going to call it a radical love today. Amen. It's a radical love that saved us on that cross. And if I could give it a subpoint, the subtitle of this message would be A Road Called Beautiful. A Road Called Beautiful. Amen? Amen. Thank God for Sister Conway. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Before we pray, I want to say happy birthday to my sister in the back, Sister Wanda. Amen. Happy birthday to you. Thank God for my wife, mother, my children, and everybody, all of you that are in this place. Amen. Let's pray. Most gracious and eternal Father God, we thank you. We bless and praise your name to know that you alone are worthy of the glory. You're worthy of the honor. Lord Jesus, and you're worthy of all the praise. So God, we pray that your abundant love just break our hearts. Have your way in this place. God, remove any reservation, any hindrances, oh God, anything that we've come in with. Oh God, any distractions. God, we bring them into the subjection of the cross. Jesus said, I beheld Satan like lightning fall from heaven. And nothing by any means shall harm you. So God, we thank you. For this truly is the day that you've made, every day. And we're going to rejoice and be glad in it to know that in the presence of the Lord is the fullness. And that's what we're talking about today. Your fullness of joy. The completion of joy. Our affirmation and our validation that can only be found in you. God, we speak. Oh God, crucify my very flesh. Have your way in this place. Break every heart that's not surrendered and subjected unto you. Drive out the hand of the enemy, oh God, even as he comes to snatch the word from us. God, we pray that you sink this message deep down in the hearts of these thou your people. God, we love you and we bless you for us in Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Let everybody say amen and amen. 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 A radical love. Thank God for a radical love and a road called beautiful. And thank God, man, it's quite a few verses. You can spend a month or a year in John chapter 15. Man, and many times we'll read John chapter 15 and get down to like verse 11, right? And you know, we as preachers, we spend so much time on the first half of the passage, you know, because when he says, I'm the true vine and my Father is the husbandman, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, that it may bring forth more fruit. I'm sorry, let me read that again. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. That's a concept that the world that we live in does not understand. They do not, the world does not understand this love and this pruning that we as believers go through, that God might bring forth his manifest glory in our lives. Amen. And suffering is looked down upon by this world. You know, and there was a rumor going around in Thessalonians. Not a rumor, but a message that was going around in the church of Thessalonica. It was going around in other churches. It was going around in the church of Galatia. And even in Corinthians. Basically, they were saying, some were saying in Thessalonians that the resurrection had already passed. And it was the spirit of Gnosticism that had crept into the church. Amen. And they came up with the theme, eat, drink, and be merry. For tomorrow we all die. And how about that's the same slogan in the world right now today. Do you be happy. Get yours. Amen. You only go around once. Well, I beg to differ. Amen. Because this world can't satisfy you. This world can't sustain you. Amen. And this world will continue to come up with up short. Amen. And I pray not to get stuck in the first couple of verses of chapter 15. We really want to deal with the latter part of this chapter on today. And I thank God for the word that was preached last week by Reverend Williams. I thank God for the word that was preached by Minister Tolbert the week before that. Amen. And it seems like all these messages are running together. Amen. And we thank God that we can't lose sight of the fact that Christ was on his way to the cross. He was on his way. And we see it. 14, 15, 16, and 17. These chapters, Christ was on his way, knowing the awful crucifixion and suffering and ridicule and shame that he would face, that he would go through. And man, I don't know about you, but if I knew I was getting ready to die, I don't know if I would have been worried about everybody else. Amen. Amen. But yet and still, we see his love. We see his love for us. That he was more concerned with us than he was his own death. For this was the very reason why he came, to give his life a ransom for all of us. And I'm telling you, listen, man, this word is like Space Mountain. That's a roller coaster at Disney World. Amen. You'll start one where in this one place, and this word will take you something else, take you somewhere else. I don't know if I'm all by myself, but I'm telling you, man, I started in 1 John. I started in 1 John chapter 4. Then I went to 1 John chapter 1 because it says the same thing in 1 John chapter 1. Then I skipped around, bumped around, amen, and God landed me right here in John chapter 15. And I'm telling you, listen, we thank God for our women. We had a women's breakfast not too long ago, 2 weeks ago, and I'm telling you, it was a blessing. Thank God for the grits and the bacon that was there. Amen. And the men that helped to serve the food. But guess what? We got the word. And one sister stood up. Amen. She gave her text. She gave about 25 verses. Amen. And I said, what? I couldn't even keep up and write them down. And she didn't read them all, but she gave them as the context for what she was saying. And not just her, but all of them. Amen. And we've studied this long enough to know that when God speaks to you, when this word speaks, because this word is moving. And as I sit there sometimes, man, the word is like moving under my feet. Because the word of God is living. The word of God is alive. The word of God is active. It's quick. It's sharp. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Rightly dividing asunder the soul and the spirit. Amen. It's got to get your soul out of the way. That it can zero in on the inward man. That you might be glorified. And I'm telling you, listen, as we get in the word, allow the word to speak to you. Don't study the word of God for quantity, but study the word of God for quality. Amen. If you wake up, amen, and it's only three verses that is in your daily read. Now read the Bible. Amen. Amen. But allow the word to speak to you as if it's one word. Amen. And for me, it was just verse 11. It's almost like, man, the word will jump off the page. Amen. Somebody in the old church one time, my aunt was crawling across the Bible. And this person got happy. And she said, that's the verse for me. One of the mothers in the old church. Amen. Mother Robinelle, my mother probably know who it is. But she got excited. Amen. Because guess what? If the aunt is crawling there, read it. See what it says. Drill down on it. Cross-reference it. And sometimes when you cross-reference, listen, from Genesis to Revelation, amen, heaven and earth are going to pass away. But the only thing that's going to stand is the word of God. Get crazy about it. Amen. The title of this message is called A Radical Love. Christ was radical. That's a radical love. Who are we? What is man? That he would be mindful of us. We were at odds with him. We were enemies of the cross. That he will come down and die for little old me. What kind of love is this? What manner of love is this? Amen. If Shaniqua and Tyrone, don't you chasing them? And you don't think they love you? Amen. Jesus loves you. He's got a whole bunch of likes for you. He's got a whole bunch of affirmation for you. He's got a whole bunch of validation for you. 2 Corinthians 6:16 says, you are the temple of the living God. I will dwell in them. And I will walk in them. Listen, and Christ was zeroing in on our fulfillment, which can only be found in him. Our hearts were the bullseye of the Father. And all along, God wanted to dwell in us. Amen. And so this was more than just about, well, I'm going away, and I know John 14 says, where I go, there you may be also. The way I go, you know. Then he goes on to say, Thomas said, how can we know the way? Right? Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man can come unto the Father except by me. Right? Man, listen, this is about more than just getting to heaven. But it's about the indwelling personification of Jesus Christ. The embodiment, the engrafting, the tabernacle of him to come in and live in me. Amen. Listen, Revelations 21:4 says, 21:3 says, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. The tabernacle of God is with men. Guess what? There's no going to be no need for the church. Christ is the church. We're the church. And he dwells in us. And we dwell in him. Amen. There's going to be an abundance of overwhelming intimacy when we get there. And I hear Reverend Williams saying, man, we're not just going to be worried about the streets paved with gold and where my mansion is. Jesus is going to be your mansion because he's going to dwell in us and we're going to dwell in him. Amen. And I thank God this verse 11, after he's speaking to the disciples, let them know all the things that they're going to suffer in these chapters and what they're going to go through. Amen. He says in verse 11, all things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full or be complete. Amen. Listen, our hearts were the Christ bullseye. Why? Because he has placed in man a natural appetite for eternity in our hearts. And he's placed them in the lives of every human being. Everybody has it. Everybody has this innate longing. Not just for ultimate fulfillment, but we have the innate longing for eternity. And we can feel it reverberating in our hearts. We can feel that there's more to this life than this present world. We can feel it on the inside. A longing. And as the world groans and the earth groans, guess what? We ourselves, we groan looking for this eternal fulfillment that can only be filled by Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, man, listen. You wonder why coming through this corona, everything's up. Depression is up. Suicide is up. Anxiety is up. Mental illness is up. It's up. Everything's up. Amen. Because guess what? There's a storm out over the ocean. And it's moving this old way. If your soul's not anchored in Jesus, guess what? You're slowly slipping away. The devil is after our minds. And he's after, there's a spirit of delusion in this world to think that we will one day satisfy the longing that we have on the inside. You can't do it. You can't satisfy this longing that's meant for Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'm telling you, I don't know what you've come in here with. I don't know what you're going through. But this verse, man, the Lord just broke my heart. And he said, this passage is a passage, it's a roll call, beautiful. It's a role called beautiful. And the reason why, because Christ wants to beautify us with his life. And you can look at the road. Y'all heard of Romans Road? And y'all heard of the gate called beautiful? Well, this is the road called beautiful. Because it leads to a beautiful fulfillment that can only be found in Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'm hearing it lately. I'm hearing it lately how speak your truth. What's true to you? What's beautiful to you? What some people call beauty, some people call ugly. Amen. 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 But how many beautiful is the personification of Jesus Christ? He's the beautiful one that's looking to beautify us with his life. Amen. And that's why, y'all, this verse is one of the conclusionary verses of this chapter. Verses 1 through 11 is a progression that builds to the verse, to this verse right here, verse 11. The very manifestation, the epitome of an intimate love relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible says in Philippians 1:6, he that hath begun a good work will perform it even unto him. Amen. The Bible also says, talks about over and over again, that we have this treasure in earthen vessel. That the excellency of his powers of God and out of us. We are troubled on every side, but not distressed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this is the beautiful role that death works in us, that life may work in somebody else. Man, and we see it in this passage between the vine, the branch, and the husbandman. And when he says that we have to abide in him, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, as a branch cannot bring forth fruit of itself except it abides in the vine. And no more except you abide in me. And guess what? As we abide in this vine, that's our submission and our surrender to let God have his way in our lives. Amen. That's our surrender. Amen. So when we look at this word joy encompasses more than just the joy. Because if you look at the preceding verses of intimacy and abiding and loving relationship in verses 6, 7, and 8, you look at those verses. Amen. All the other fruit by this word joy, which is the second fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, meekness, kindness. Fruit, we can't produce our own fruit. Christ must produce the fruit in us. So if you know, and I thank God, amen, sometimes we seek God for more patience. Or Lord, I need more love. That's in that book too. I need more kindness. I want to be beautified. Amen. Aunt Esther came to see Fred. And Fred was picking on her a little bit. And Aunt Esther said, don't make me get ugly. And Fran said, too late. Amen. But guess what, y'all? Beauty is not defined by cosmopolitan. True beauty is not defined by Facebook and the internet and TikTok and all these other things that are like a wormhole that we get sucked into. And if y'all will be honest with me, amen. How many get sucked into, next thing you know, 10 minutes turns into 15 minutes. 15 minutes turns into 20 minutes. You surfing and you scrolling. Some people can't get up out the bed. Seriously, without first checking their status. Man, it's like work. Man, they're going to come out with a phone that's hitched to your hand. It's going to be built into your hand. You say high five, it's going to be a phone. That's what we're leading to in this end time. That we're man, the devil has worked enough. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he comes to do. We got to know the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. Some people, man, people are hooked. People are in strongholds to these cell phones. Hey, man, I ain't going to get no man look. We are hooked on them. Can't get off of them. And some people are validated by the likes that they get. Because it releases endorphins. Yes, that's what we learned about the other night. We were watching a special, amen, on the dangers of the internet. Man, it releases an endorphins. So if I get a bunch of likes, man, I feel good about myself. I feel I got a skit. Amen. But if I put something on Facebook and I only get 2 likes, amen, y'all ever see, man, you can put all this other stuff on Facebook. But let me put 2 or 3 scriptures on there to encourage somebody. Man, we scroll right past that stuff. Amen. But when we're validated by TikTok and all this other stuff, man, it releases endorphins in us, and it's like a high. Then the next thing you know, we're hooked. And the next thing you know, we're saying, well, I didn't show enough cleavage or body parts. So I bet you if I show enough body parts, I bet you if I show myself with drinking a bottle of wine and I'm a preacher or a deacon, I'll get more likes that way, or smoking or whatever it is. And we want to show the world and the church that we can mix the two. Guess what? And I told my wife, I said, man, well, if I was in a club or in a bar, I'm not going to put it on Facebook. But people don't care. They put all their business on Facebook. Young people, young girls, young boys. We bind and rebuke the spirit of peer pressure and the spirit of measuring up or trying to be like. Listen, we're going to beat the drum. Jesus Christ loves you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I say it all the time, and all your nappy hair, straight hair, good hair, light skin, dark skin, big lips, big bone, little bone. Jesus Christ loves you. He loves you. Turn to your neighbor and say, he loves you. He loves you. We gotta know it. But we fall hook, line, and sinker for the devil stuff. Amen. And guess what, y'all? Thank you, Jesus. God has broken my heart. That's why my voice gets all crazy up here. I can't contain myself to this radical love. To know that even when I was dead in my trespasses and sins, but God, who was rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us and gave himself for us. So as we go down this road called beautiful, I got beautiful, amen? I got 3 points. The first point, as we go through this road, amen, God, and how God beautifies us, going down this road of beautiful. The first point is he purges, he beautifies us through purging. Amen? Or you can put pain. Man, we don't like pain. We don't like to suffer. But he beautifies us through that. Amen. Amen. And when God breaks the heart of a man or a woman to this complete joy and fulfillment and completion and validation, to know there is absolutely nothing in this world that I need. But God has to conform us. He's got to conform us, y'all. He got to go to work on us to get us into the image of his son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And we're just going to go through this really quickly. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away. But every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth much fruit. So my thing is, well, God, I'm already bringing forth fruit. Why I got to suffer? Why you got to cut me? And I said it before, man, when you're going through a storm and a test, now take this jacket off.
Amen.
When you're going through a storm or a test, guess what? It don't feel good. Amen. And I'm telling you, listen, and as we're going through, all we can do is yield and submit to the purging of his love. God beautifies the branch through his pruning, through his word, and intimate love. And guess what? God is never more close to you than when he's pruning you in that branch with them hedge clippers. Amen. And guess what? Dr. Charles Stanley went to this man's house one time. He owned a great big old farm in Florida. Dr. Stanley got to his house, and he said he seen this guy hacking away, cutting the trees, even cutting some of the fruit. And Stanley said, man, why are you hacking that tree down like that? He turned to Dr. Stanley and said, you stick to preaching, and I'll stick to farming. Listen, we can't get there from here. David said, it was good for me that I had been afflicted, that I might learn his statute. Paul said, I prayed three times that this thorn will be removed. But God answered him and said, nevertheless, amen, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made what? Perfect. What? Does it get much better than perfect? In your weaknesses. Christ, Paul said, therefore I rather boast in my infirmities. Hallelujah. That the power of God might what? Rest. Somebody shout rest. Rest upon me. And I'm telling y'all, listen, you can go through some things in your life that you can't even accurately confess or convey what you've been going through. And that's why, y'all, man, when we look at this, we talk about this intimacy, this closet, this intimacy, this position of the believer, bar none, nobody in the world, no friend, no substance, no parent, no husband, nor wife can be have a closer, intimate fellowship than this. Somebody say nobody.
Nobody.
And guess what? There are some things that you can go through in your life that you can't even speak to what you went through. I'm telling you, you don't even have the words to confess or to convey. And guess what? You can be married in the same house with a person. Now, and that person may not be able to know what you feel. Now, they can know you're going through something. Woo-wee! Man, they can pray for you. But sometimes they can't even know. And you're trying to explain it, and God said, just be still. Yeah. Ooh-wee. And know, somebody say, be still and know, that I am God. I'm telling you. And sometimes, man, there's some things I went through in my life that, man, it seemed like God's presence was the farther thing away from me. Even when God called me to preach, guess what? I'm still trying to figure out what happened. I still can't figure it out how it happened. But I know I'm called, and I know he called me. I know where I was sitting. I was sitting right there by Brother Doug Taylor. Amen? Not in this church, but the old church. I can tell you where I was when he spoke to me. But I said, God, no, I ain't gonna do it. And I put it out of my mind, literally. I didn't think about it no more. Seriously. That same day, something happened. I can't even explain. The song says he touched me. He touched me. And all the joy that floods my soul. Somebody say something. Something happened. And now I know that he touched me and made me whole. I still can't explain what happened on 95 with the motorcycle. But what I'm going through now, I can look back. And you ever go through something that you can recall and recount in your mind? That's what David did when he took the bear and he killed the lion. Now he had to face Goliath. He could look back and recall. Somebody say, look back and recall. Look back and recall what God has brought you through. And guess what? If he did it before, guess what? He's going to do it again. My soul looks back and wonder how I got over. I don't know how I did it. I can't tell you what happened. But all I know that I know that I know that Jesus Christ, Mary's little baby, he touched me. Amen. We've got to know. We've got to know. Only Jesus. Yes, it is Jesus. It's Jesus. He touched me. And I can look back. And that's why, man, there are other things that I've gone through in my life. That you, and they should tell the Old Testament saints, put a rock or put a stone. He told Jacob that. Remember that. Don't eat this part of the lamb or the calf. Because he was limping. God touched him in the hollow of his heart. And I don't know who I'm speaking to, but there's some things that you've gone through. That only God. And guess what, man? It felt like it was the worst thing in the world. But I can look back over my life and say, man, guess what? I wouldn't trade that experience. I wouldn't trade what I went through. Amen. Somebody don't listen. Is there anybody that can testify that you wouldn't trade what you went through? Because God has blessed you. Amen. The second point is, he beautifies us by his word. Amen. He beautifies us by his word. Amen. So here in our text, he says, if a man abide in me, verse 6, he is cast forth as a branch and wither. Amen. Gather them and cast them into the fire. And they are burned. He says, if you abide in me, and my what? Word abides in you. You can ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Amen. It's the word. Amen. It's the word. And I'm telling y'all, we've got to submit. Amen. To the pruning process. When he says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Later on, he says, you can ask what you will. But there's got to be submission. And I thank God, man, for Luke 7. When the centurion sent to Jesus Christ to heal his servant. Amen. And the centurion said, for I am also a man set under authority, having also soldiers unto me, and I say unto one, go, and the other one comes. Guess what? The authority that he was given was because he was subject to authority. He was subject to the vine. He was subject to abiding to the Lord. And when God is speaking to you about something, don't ignore it. Amen. And guess what? You can't lead where you can't follow. People want to be in leadership. And people want to lead. But guess what? You got to be able to follow. Amen. I ain't going to get too amen on that. Amen. We've got to be able to follow. Amen. Listen. Listen, on your job, wherever it is, man, we like to go to work. Man, I wish they would. Man, we want to come to work, get our breakfast, sit down, search the internet for an hour. Somebody might have some employees like that, amen? Amen. And then when the boss asks you something, you look at him. You may not say it audibly, but I wish he would come in here. Amen. But guess what? We got to know we're working for Jesus Christ. I'm telling you. I've not been alone that long. I've not lived that long, but I'm telling you what I know. When the centurion said Jesus is a man that's also under authority, he submitted to God. He said, I can do nothing of my own self, but what I hear from the Father, that's what I do. And when you can submit to authority, God will elevate you. I'm telling you. Man, I heard about, man, I've been listening. God is good. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knoweth him. That's why I will bless the Lord. At what? All times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. But we just sit with our lips poked out. I don't know who he's talking about. And don't nobody want to have nobody tell them nothing. You want to sit and be you. Amen. God is trying to beautify you, not uglify you. We got some ugly people in the church. And I'm not talking about your face or your appearance or your head. But I'm talking about that old mean disposition. Look what she got on today. Amen. Don't love nobody. Amen. Get on home and talk about everybody and gossip about everybody. Talk about how long the preacher preached. Listen, we've got to be crazy about this love. We've got to be willing to be subject. That means planet. Amen. The Bible says, except the corn of wheat fall and what? Into the ground and what? Die. It abideth alone. But if it what? Die. It brings forth what? Much fruit. Yo, we gotta die. Why am I yelling, Deacon Wright? Why am I yelling? I can't help it. Think of according to the power that works in me. When you know that you know that you know that Jesus Christ died on that cross, to know that my best time to praise, guess what? It's not in this place. My best time to praise is not in this choir. My best time to praise is when I'm all by myself and God breaks me and he rocks me and he holds me and he wraps me. He swaddles me like a little baby. Amen. And he walks with me. And he talks with me. And he tells me that I'm his own. And the joy that I share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. You gotta know, you gotta know that you've got Christ Jesus. The Bible said, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor, your dying, your submission, your surrender, it's not in vain. It's not in vain. He's good. Amen. Amen. He beautifies us through this word. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, nor standeth in the way of sinner. But his delight is where? In the law of the Lord. And in his law doeth he what? How? And he shall be like a what? What? Planted by the rivers of the water. And guess what? He bringeth forth fruit. Hallelujah. In his season. And this is a sub-point. Three things the tree is. It's beautiful. It's fruitful. And it's enduring. It's enduring. Man, it will stand the test of time. And guess what? You ever meet somebody and you look at them. You're like, man, this brother looks all right. Man, she kind of tight. She keep her wig straight. Listen, long as you got the receipt, it's okay. Amen. Men, we're guilty too. Amen. Beijing 2020, heard Minister Tober talking about last week. But guess what, y'all? Man, you see this person, and you'd be like, man, guess what? She looks all right. Man, you go to talk to them. Man, they have an ugly spirit and an ugly disposition. Man, I know people like that, and I'd be ready to run. Ew, let me get away from this person. And then you meet somebody, and you don't know. But once you get to know them, man, it's a beautiful person. Man, they are beautiful. And it's a supernatural beauty that only God can get. And I thank God I'm only going to pick on people that have gone on to glory. God has sent some beautiful people our way that were beautiful. I'm not talking about the outside. I'm talking about the inside. Man, they can get with anybody on any level and conversate with them and love them. And man, I'm telling you, the last point that I have is, we're beautified by discipleship. And I'm telling you, listen. Bar none, the most important part of the tree is the part you can't see. Amen. Amen. That's where the root system is double the size of the tree. Man, my question is, how are your roots in this word of God? Man, are you anchored in? Are you locked in? And I heard it on Bible study. We can all say we love the word. Man, I love the word. Y'all got the word. We preach the word. We teach the word. But guess what? If you're not in the word, you can't say you love the word. Amen. Amen. We've got to be in the word every single day. I'm not talking about getting up in the morning for praying through Romans. I'm not talking about just Bible study. And guess what? I want to challenge the men. Bible study on Wednesdays is not just for the women, but it's also for the men. I know we got men's Bible study, but we can't get enough. But more important than all those Bible studies, you better have a personal word and a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And guess what? The desire that we have, the love, because we can love the word and not be in the word. Amen. We can fancy the word and not really be in the word. And guess what? Just because we quote and told the word, just because my Bible is taped up, that don't mean I'm in the word. Because the word has to break my heart that I might live something. Your Bible can be all colored up and pinned up and marked up, look like a coloring book. But guess what? That don't mean nothing. You can be religious and sanctimonious and all this stuff and have an ugly spirit, old Baptist spirit, old Baptist deacon and a Baptist missionary. Just as ugly. Guess what? I've been to some of these churches. I've met some of these people. Just traditional and carnal. Going to get some JD and Hennessy. Going to the bar after church, deacon. Driving a Cadillac with a suit on with a feather in the cap. I ain't talking about your feather. Listen, the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, they have a zeal for God. They got a zeal. But not according to righteousness, and have not submitted. Somebody say they gotta submit. We've gotta submit. We've gotta submit to this love of Jesus Christ and the joy that I have. Amen. The world can't give you that. And the world can't take it away. This world is dying. Man, the last last verse I had, real quick, man. I'm getting all over the place. Amen. It's good. It's word good. It's word good. It's word good. Somebody say it's gooder than good. It's good. It's better than Shady Maple. It's better than Golden Corral. When I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out. Somebody say hallelujah. 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 The last verse, and then I'm closing on this. He says, he talks about the word. Abide in my word. We read Psalms 1. Man, them roots run deep. They don't know. The best part about you is the part you can't see. But we chase the devil and trying to look a certain way to please people or please some woman or please some man. Amen. Amen. Then life hits something called gravity. Where your chest used to be up here, next thing you know, it's down there. Amen. And guess what? We'll do all kind of surgery and stuff and get stuff snatched. They say, right? Get stuff done. BBL. Amen. And listen, I love you. But guess what? Who are we trying to impress? Who are we trying to impress down here? We have a loving heavenly Father and a Savior. Amen. Don't get me wrong. Man, look your best. Amen. But don't let this world define you by how you look or what you have or what kind of education that you got. But listen, this last verse, he said, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. And as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. And so when he says, here's the Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. So we're beautified through purging or pain. We're beautified by the word of God. And guess what, y'all? This is the one we skip, and I'm convicted. We're beautified by discipleship. We're beautified by discipleship. Amen. John 13:35. This verse is connected to this. Amen. Listen. Where's the verse? Oh, I'm on the wrong. Okay. John 13:34. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. How? Even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my what? My disciples. We listen. It's discipleship. You are my disciples. When we have love, if you have love one another, you'll be my disciples. God wants disciples. Because guess what? There's a song that used to say, love isn't love until it's given away. Amen. Amen. And somebody might say, well, that verse ain't even in the Bible. Yes, it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Amen. What good is it if I beseech, give all my gifts to the poor? Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I'm becoming as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. For though I have the gift of prophecy, and you meet these people, boy, they can tell you something about yourself, but can't even speak to their own family member, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. And though I have the faith so that I could remove mountains, and I have not love, I am nothing. And a lot of us, we get in relationship with the vine. Yes, we can be purged by the vine. Yes, we can get in the word. But it ought to lead to fruition in discipleship. Community. We've got to submit and yield. Because my completion in this word and my joy. I try to close the book just now. It's through our discipleship. That's why the conclusionary verse, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be complete. I'm closing the book now. We got to get to loving. It's not just the preacher's job to disciple. The Bible says no man has seen God at any time. But if we what? Love one another. He's in the midst. I was out in Bloomsdale last week. We were out on the street. I can't even explain the presence of God that comes over when we're loving one another in fellowship. And these brothers back here, they're just as crazy as me. It's got to be a radical love. And me and Jake just looked at each other in awe. And we both said, this is what we're supposed to be doing. You can feel it. It feels so right. Amen. By this, listen, who are you witnessing to? Man, you're just worried about your own stuff. Worried about what you don't have. People are dying. Women flocking to these Beyonce concerts. In the church and in the concert. And they're opening up portals, Illuminati, narcissism, and all this stuff. Man, and I'm telling you, man, there's one young lady, I looked into her eyes last week, and you could just see it. Suffering, depressed, don't know how to get out. And maybe God is looking for you to be that person with a kind word, not in yourself, but in allowing his life to manifest through you. Amen. Depression. Man, and one brother, man, I talked to this brother. Man had a big old ankh tattooed on his arm with the eye of Horus in the middle. And I just began, man, I didn't come at him and beat him up. Y'all know we want to beat people up with the Bible of God, with the Bible. But I had to let him know. Man, I just started asking him some questions. Then I started letting him know about Christ. Amen. I hope to keep running into him. He works in my building somewhere. Amen. I don't even know his name, so y'all don't know him. Amen. But we've got to know there's a world that's dying. It's time out for not getting along. We've got to invite people to Jesus Christ. As we stand to our feet, let's give God a hand clap of praise in this place. If there's somebody in this place and you don't know this love of Jesus, at the cross will always represent the love God has for me. If you don't know this love, and you want to come and accept Christ into your heart, you can come right now. Is there one? Is there one? He's standing. He says, behold, I'm standing, knocking at your heart. He says, in the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Is there one? Is there one? Is there one that would like to rededicate your life? Man, you're trapped. And it feels like you can't get out. And you want to rededicate your life, you can also come. You can come and rededicate your life to Jesus Christ. Is there one? Amen. Is there one? As the choir says,
what does the cross of Jesus mean?
Is there one night like to come and close out?
It's more with a word of prayer.
If you're in need of prayer, close out. You can also come to this altar. If you're in need of prayer, come on and come. Come on and come.
Emblem on your chain.
Come on and
but it means I'm free, yes, from the chains of slavery and the blood that shed won't let my sins remain.
Come on
and come. That's it. Oh my, upon the cross my Savior died. The Lamb was crucified. Showed more love than this world has ever known. And oh, love, love divine, so divine, to a love you'll never find. So that we might live, love came and died alone. Well, the cross will always represent the love God had for me. When the Lord of glory had consent, gave all on Calvary, he did it just for me. For me, oh hallelujah, and did it just for me, just for me,
that's it,
just for me, just for me, just for me, oh hallelujah. Oh, 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 Jesus came and did it just.